Talks.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's the SCB Steelers Podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. We are very pleased to be part of the Variety Sports Network. And of course, the show comes to you from the Bradshaw Bourbon Studio. I am drinking Redemption Rye tonight. Ben, I think you have some Yellowstone. Is that right?
That's correct.
Thank you. And just, you know, for the sake of advertising, I do have the Bradshaw right here, but there's not much left. And Scarps, welcome back. I assume you might still be trying to rehydrate.
I guess it's 48.5.
Oh, Voodoo Ranger Hazy IPA.
Go, yeah.
That's outstanding.
I was going to say, Big Ben's burger. We got Ben himself. Yeah. I'm good. I was good last week. I mean, I had some beverages, but it was.
Well, I would say incredible. You had some beverages.
It was incredible.
Now, you, of course, were watching some NCAA hoops action.
Confirmed.
And, now, were you in the arena for the big 3-point display by the kid from Oakland University?
Yes. Yes, sir. You know, If you've never been to an NCAA tournament game, I suggest that you try to go, because the moment that the underdog has a slight chance of winning the game, the crowd turns on the favorite. And Kentucky, Lexington is not too far from Pittsburgh, but when was this, like Holkey or whatever the hell his name is?
Yeah, yeah.
This dude was shooting shit from Heinz Field.
He was, man. He wasn't like at the line. He was shooting like, from all over.
It was unbelievable. And the crowd, even though it was pro Kentucky, definitely turned on them. It was incredible.
Yeah, it's what we love about sports. Anyway, man, we got a lot of NFL rule changes and stuff tonight. Steelers, of course, signed Cordarrelle Patterson. We'll get into that a little bit. Plus, perhaps, you know, some of these issues with wide receiver. They seem to have George Pickens and a lot of slim Pickens, if you will. And anyway, we'll get into all that. Ian should be along shortly. We hear one of his 62 kids might still be awake at this time, or it could be all of them. See, Aaron's here tonight. Awake. Aaron's not at that Bear Paw concert that he was at last week or whatever it is.
Bear Paw?
I don't know. I'm messing with him.
Barefoot.
Barefoot? Barefoot. Yeah, I was at the Barefoot Winery concert or something like that. Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Sounds very Ohio.
It is very Ohio. Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, well. I'll be nice. I'm not gonna say
why.
I haven't had enough.
The only thing that's off limits tonight for bashing is Baltimore. We can't do our usual trash talk about Baltimore tonight.
Yeah, what do we say at the end tonight? I thought about that.
Nah, I don't know. Good luck, Baltimore. Hey, we're pulling for you. We are.
Yeah, I mean,
that sucks, I'm not, man. It's a damn good thing two things happened. One, it was late at night. And two, they did call out a May Day and they closed off the bridge.
Yep.
But I mean, they saved some people, but a lot of people still died. And some of them were actually just working on the bridge.
Yep.
Just went to work that night and ended up dead.
Yeah. And we know we are part of your escape from that stuff. So we won't go into it too long, but certainly thoughts with those people there.
Absolutely.
So that's going to be a rough go for the folks there in Baltimore. Anyway, guys, let's talk a little bit about these rule changes, because they're fascinating, and in some cases they're
fascinating. It's not the word I was going to use.
Fascinating for the kickoff rule, and I'll get into why.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
But then I look at like the hip drop tackle thing. You know, it's one thing when you get a few players that come out and are like, eh, I don't like this, but man, there was a lot of people coming out against this. The coaches' challenges changed a little bit. So there's a few things. So let's start with the kickoff rule. My first thought to both of you guys, Ryan, what is your feeling on the new kickoff?
My feeling about it is that, I think that they took into account the expertise of a variety of seasoned NFL special teams coordinators that are very prominent. And I believe Danny Smith was part of that conversation. And I think they thought, hey, how can we make a play that used to be exciting again?
Yep.
Because it's just easier to just kick the ball through the end zone now. It really is. You just kick the ball through the end zone, and now you can still do that. But I think that there's more of an onus now on the return team to be more creative because of the rules. There's not going to be a running start for the kicking team, the receiving team as well. So it's going to be, there's still going to be contact, but it's going to be more controlled contact. And that helps hopefully lower head injuries, leg injuries, knee injuries, et cetera.
Absolutely.
But also to me, I think they did this because it's a chess move, right? It's a play that you can make. And I don't know all the ins and outs of it. There's definitely some questions that I have, but you know, if you could get a good skilled kicker that can put the ball sort of coffin corner, but not kick it out of bounds,
right?
You're talking about a serious advantage. So, you know, some people think that special teams don't matter, which is wrong. They do matter.
Absolutely wrong. I think
that there is going to be a variety of special team spots open this year that may have not been ever open before based on previous rules.
Yeah, I before I flip it to Ben, I mean it definitely has maybe created some openings for guys that maybe thought they were headed out of the league a little bit too. I mean, let's face it, the kickoff has become like, oh well, second half kickoff starting, I still got time to go get a beer. No big deal. Yeah. We're gonna kick it through the end zone.
I think it's just gonna change it. I think a lot of guys that thought for sure they had jobs every year don't anymore because it devalues guys like gunners on kickoff team. You don't need a gunner anymore.
No.
Once he gonna run 5 yards before he runs into somebody, you don't need a gunner.
Nope.
That doesn't matter. You need a gunner on punts, but that's two guys. You don't need.
And I'm gonna ask you guys about the punt play here shortly, but we'll keep talking about the kickoff.
But I think it was twofold. Yeah, if you've got a really good place kicker who can put the ball, you know, outside the numbers, but down at the 5 yard line. So worst case, it goes into the end zone. Okay. I think what they're going to try and do is drop the ball between the 10 and the 15, you know, off numbers, so to speak. So if somebody decides to just let it roll, it doesn't necessarily get into the end zone. It might still, I don't know. But what they're trying to do is encourage returns.
Oh, for sure.
They're trying to encourage the return. And if the ball hits the ground outside the end zone and doesn't go out of bounds, you have to return it.
Yeah. No fair catches. None.
Right.
Gone.
Right. And it can't roll into the end zone either.
I was like, okay. I was thinking about this, and this might be a bit far-fetched because the kicker is still kicking it from the 35-yard line. It's just that you've now got the kick coverage teams way up, okay?
All the way up at the 40.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is 10 yards further than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
When I saw the proposal, I was like, whoa, okay.
Is it Is it
all the
possible?
Way up at the other team's 40.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just wondering, is it possible for a guy to really kick a big high ball there? And
oh, yeah,
I mean, to me, you're still going to have some collisions. You're going to have some ugliness.
Sure,
I know it gets rid of some of the nastiness. Don't
the
get me
receiving
wrong.
Team can line up. They have a 5-yard zone where they can set up.
Okay? Right.
So they can line up anywhere between the 30 and the 35. So they can line up all the way up if they want. They can line up back. So there's still going to be some gamesmanship with returns in regard to blocking schemes, which is fine. Whatever. You don't have that much time to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be as coordinated as it's been. Yeah. On top of that, you don't know where the ball is coming. So you can't call a play before the kick in anticipation of the fact that this guy over here is going to get the ball.
That's a good point. The idea of designed kick returns is going to be much more difficult because you don't have the time to set something up anymore.
Right.
You know, it used to be, well, we're going to kick return right. You know, well,
so the value of the returner comes up. So let's just segue into that.
Yep.
All right. So literally, Patterson's agent was at the NFL team meetings. And if this rule passed, the Steelers already told him they wanted to sign him. It's a 2-year, $6 million deal because the value of the returner has gone up. Because he's got to be able to produce on himself.
Drastically, yep.
But can a 33-year-old running back really still do that? I don't know.
I don't either. I like that they're being proactive.
I'm just going to wait and see on that.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any crazy predictions, but I look at a guy who's the record holder for the most kickoff return TDs in NFL history, and yeah, he's 33 years old, but I think he's also got a shit ton of experience too, and I think that matters as well. But and they got him. That's a relatively good price. I don't have a problem with that. You know, and you know our buddy Derek who was here with us for a while and. He's now over at Steelers now with Alan and Nick and stuff. And, you know, he did a nice little video thing of Cordarrelle Patterson as a running back and just talked about how this idea that he's just this running, this former receiver that just kind of, you know, skips through the line. The dude lowers his pads.
No, he's built like a brick shit house.
No, he puts the lumber on you. So I think
he's 220 pounds. He's not, he's not a long, lanky guy.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And Ben, I know you hate fantasy football, but I want to be real about this. So, you know, last year and I was guilty of this. I drafted Drake London in my fantasy league. And as soon as I did it, I was like, ah, shit, man, Arthur Smith, there's going to be 1,000 people touching the ball this year. So I sit there and think, like, you know, is Cordarrelle Patterson just a returner? Because to me, you're right. He's big. He can run the ball. He can catch the ball. In team history.
Not a bad bet.
Like Russell. If Russell Wilson plays well, he's going to catch a pass, catch a touchdown, throw a touchdown, and run for a touchdown.
Boy, you know what? Right. There's or a prop bet for you.
Or Justin Fields.
Like, I mean,
this is what Arthur Smith does. But that being said, getting back to the receiving core, you got George Pickens, and then you got a bunch of wide receiver 4 and 5s, in my opinion, including Calvin Austin. So a guy like Calvin Austin, who may have been able to, hang around, but also made the team based on his return skills.
Yeah.
I think that he's in trouble.
He is. He's got to make it now as a receiver.
Yeah. For a variety of reasons. You're right.
I mean,
because
he's a backup return man, effectively.
Yeah, well, he's still going to be your punt returner, though, isn't he?
I don't know.
I don't think he is. He's not even a good punt returner.
I say that only because Patterson's strictly kickoff.
I think he's a bit of both. Patterson strictly kickoff returners?
Pretty much. If you look at his history, very few punt returns.
But you know, the way punt returns go, you could get a speedy defensive back that could be your punt returner. Like Calvin Austin, and I'm going to say this, is that I really think that they are not tied to any picks that Colbert had. And Calvin Austin was a Colbert pick.
I get that.
True.
Nobody is safe. And
the thing that Danny Smith has emphasized over the years, and Tomlin as well, but Danny Smith is they want a punt returner back there who can field the ball cleanly. And that's why I don't see a DB going back there doing it. Unless that guy's got hands like a receiver, I don't see it.
You, Ian, welcome to the show. I was just, yes. I'm gonna throw one at you right now here, right off the bat.
Softball.
Wait, yeah. When's I'm trying to think of the last DB that we've used as a full-time returner.
Ike Taylor was a kickoff returner his rookie year, but not a punt returner. Was Alan Rossum? Was Alan Rossum technically a defensive back? Because Stephon Logan was technically a wide receiver.
Running. Ricardo Coakley.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Coakley. What was Hank Poteet considered?
Hank Poteet was a corner. Yeah, he was definitely a corner. Yeah, that was late 90s.
I was racking my brain to go back to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Hank was 2000.
He was there in 2000 when Three Rivers closed.
2003 or 2002. One of those.
He might have been there a couple years after.
No, I'm talking about when he was drafted. He was a second-round pick.
Well, no, he was – because I was at the last Three Rivers game, and he returned a punt for a touchdown that game.
Yeah, you're right. Poteet was 2000 to 03.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was a cornerback, so
– right. I just to Ben's point, Danny Smith seems to definitely have a type, if you will, and it's not DBs.
And Danny Smith wasn't the special teams coordinator.
But he
emphasizes he wants a guy back there who can catch the ball cleanly first and foremost.
Yep.
And I understand that because if you fuck up that part of it, You potentially end up giving the other team the ball, a new set of downs, rather. The ball and a great field position and a new set of downs.
Gunnar Olszewski?
Yeah.
Gunnar Olszewski. Yeah. Sorry. Ian, what are you drinking tonight, by the way?
So I'm fighting off a cold, so tea and whiskey.
Oh, sissy. Beautiful.
What do you mean, sissy?
I mean sissy. You're mixing perfectly good whiskey with tea.
No. I have a cup of tea and a glass of whiskey. Okay, definitely.
All right, that's fine. It's better now.
Ian, I'll take one because when I had my cold, I was doing the tea, honey, whiskey combination. So,
that's
almost like a hot toddy. That's okay.
Do the hot toddy exactly. Yes. That's some good shit.
This is the herbal throat coat tea, which I highly recommend when you're having to talk a lot.
Oh, got a lot of that in our kitchen.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So good.
Yes. Very good.
Brian gave me a look. I saw that look, Scar.
You said throat coat. I had no idea what you were talking about.
Here's a guy who hasn't had a cold in a while.
Yeah. Here's a guy whose mind's in the gutter.
I was just about to say, here's a guy whose mind's in the gutter.
Yes, Jen, our pinky finger is always out when we drink. Oh, man. Well, you know, Ian, I want to give you a chance to, we were talking about the kickoff rule and the significant changes and, you know, the fact that clearly the Steelers were interested in getting an experienced kick returner. So they grabbed Patterson like lickety split.
Yeah.
And did you have any thoughts at all on the kickoff changes?
I mean, it's definitely changing a piece of the way football is played.
Will you pay more attention to that now, the kickoff?
I think so. The thing to me is, and I tweeted about this, that there's some really interesting potential strategy now that can come into play on a kickoff that, you know, the way the rules are written and all the videos they showed with the XFL plays is basically, it's almost like a pooch kick, right? Because you have the landing zone where you have to drop the ball between the 20 and the goal line, right?
Right.
So everything they're showing is this pooch kick, a high arcing kick that comes down, the guy catches it, and then everybody starts running. And it is more like, I guess, an extended running play where you've got a, you know, 10 blockers spread out with one guy trying to find the holes. Mm-hmm. And if you find the hole, there's an opportunity for to break a big one, but the holes are going to be smaller. So, you know, the type of players that can succeed in these returns are going to be probably more on the guys with short area quickness that can find and get through those holes rather than the guys with the pure long speed. So the track guys are going to be out of it. But also, you know, how you strategize your blockers, maybe your, you know, tight end linebacker type bodies more so than your, you know, defensive lineman type. But back to the actual kickoff part. Thanks, Aaron.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate it.
Aaron just suggested if a man can find a hole, it's Ian. Well played, Aaron. Well played.
Cheers. All right. So, but on the kickoff, I think the more I thought about it, I think in some of the teams that tend to like push the rules a little bit, you know, your New England's of the world, your Ravens. Yeah. The really smart ones. I think the actual best play is to kick like a low line drive squib kick that lands between the 15 and the 20. Cause the way the rule is written, the kicking team play, the coverage unit can start running either when the ball is caught or when it hits the ground in the landing zone. Yep. So if you have this low line drive that hits at like the 17 yard line, the coverage unit can start running. Then the returner, Ben, you're on mute. I don't know what you're saying. He's talking to his dog. Then the returner has to field a bouncing ball while the coverage unit is converging on him. And also, if you kick it into the end zone or out of the back of the end zone on the fly, the touchback comes out to the 35. But if it hits in the landing zone and rolls into the end zone and is downed, it only goes to the 20.
Yeah.
So even if they don't field it and just down it in the end zone, that low squib kick saves you 15 yards of field position also. So I think that's probably the better bet. On the return team side, can I add one more thing? Sorry. On the return team side, the intriguing thing to me is you're allowed to have two guys back in the landing zone, and they're allowed to move before the ball is caught. So you could have guys set up in a certain place, have the kicker try and angle the ball in one direction, but like have those guys start running when the kicker starts his run up to just like screw around with the kicker. So that's some intriguing, you know, ways to think about it too. Yes.
You're talking about a squib kick that travels 45 yards before it hits the ground.
I don't see it.
I don't see that as being realistic.
I think these are professional kickers. They can practice at it all off season.
Okay. I get that. But it's got to go 45 yards before it hits the ground, minimum. And then when it hits the ground, you don't really want it to roll all the way into the end zone.
You could. It doesn't hurt you.
What happens if it hits the ground before the 20?
Yeah, it's out of bounds. It's like
goes to the 40.
Right.
Yeah. It's illegal formation. It goes to the 40. If it lands in the landing zone, it has to be returned.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or it can be downed if it rolls into the end zone.
Yeah, it can be down, but they get it where? The 20?
20, yeah.
The 20.
20. That's what I'm saying, is if you can get it to roll into the end zone, that's the favorable option. So, but you're right. That is a long kick to have to do that. But
to do it that flat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
I like the idea of hang time. To give your guys, you know, a little more time to decide where they're going to go, how they're going to approach it. And then ideally, what you want is for nobody to catch it, for it to hit the ground.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I George made an interesting point about windy, bad weather days. I think that's also going to affect how special teams coaches approach this too. you know, making pop-ups perhaps easier, squibs easier, you know, who knows? I'm just really interested to see how they do it. I'll have to go back and watch some XFL film. I don't think I would do that to myself. Real quick, I just wanted to bring Steelson in here. 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago to the day, actually.
He was so excited when they drafted Kenny Pickett. what we should do is go back to the video.
Go back and put the video
and
on.
Watch his reaction. It was, well, he was so psyched.
So for those that weren't here, we do the draft live first round every year. We're always on during the draft. And 2 years ago, of course, the Steelers chose Kenneth Shane Pickett. And Steelson here was not overly thrilled. And you know, now he's got kind of a good bad thing here. He really wanted McDuffie, the cornerback from Penn State,
Washington.
I'm sorry, wrong McDuffie.
They never even looked at.
All-pro?
No, they didn't look at him.
But the downside is that he also thought Malik Willis was going to turn into something. So
yeah,
me too, young lad. Me too.
Later at the end of tonight's broadcast, Casey Kasem will be here.
In fairness, was there anybody on this show who wanted Kenny Pickett before the draft?
No.
Anyone?
No. And I think Scarps made a great point earlier today in our chat. If we would have drafted Kenny Pickett in the third round, I think everybody would have been fine with that.
Absolutely.
But if we'd gotten Tyler Linderbaum in the first round that year,
I would have been fine
with that. I don't know about you guys.
That was the other one.
Yeah.
That was the other one that hurt me too.
Steelson.
Yeah.
We're going to talk, young lad, because you and I know ball. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I think we do too.
But who is this Carter fellow or fellow?
This kid in the chat right now is one of my buddies' little brothers.
Currently missing. Shout out to Carter.
So I'm gambling right now for this, but I want to give my.
You shouldn't be gambling, young lad, but I understand.
It's all for fun. They don't actually play with real money.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
keep
fine.
Telling yourself that, Mark.
They use M&Ms, Ian.
I know a guy that does heating and air conditioning and does numbers, and it's not Robert Spillane. But Steelson, I'm going to cheers to you right now because I've experienced so much Pickettologist hate from people. But you're right, Ben. I think all of us didn't want Kenny Pickett. It had nothing to do with him going to Pitt. It had everything to do with the fact that he's not a good football player.
Right.
And he had one good year in college when he was 75 years old. But
no, it had everything to do with the fact that he's weak-armed. Okay. He doesn't have the physical talent to be an NFL quarterback. We all knew that. Basically, I mean, I said it on this show. I'm like, bottom 10 quarterback for his career, that's going to be his byline if he gets that far. Now, the dude is going to be a journeyman. The next 2 years, he's not going to play at all.
No, I agree.
He's behind a guy who's younger than he is and is entrenched with a market contract. Is he the third highest paid player in the league?
He's up there.
He's up there.
Something like that.
Third or fourth highest paid player in the league through 2027. He is not playing at all the next 2 years. He's going to sit on the bench, and then at the end of that, he's going to go into free agency and sign some, you know, Mason Rudolph-type deal for $3 or $4 million a year. Maybe by then it'll be 5 for backups. I don't know.
Right.
He's done. He did himself in. And he had a pretty good opportunity in Pittsburgh even this year. If he just would have sucked it up and been like, okay, I'm going to sit on the bench for 1 year behind this 35-year-old guy, and then I'm going to have one more chance.
Yeah.
They had to be a little bitch, and so he's gone. I'm calling it the way it is, man. I'm sorry.
Real quick before I get Steelson off to play cards for M&Ms here. Do you have a guy that you're watching in the
first
round? Wait,
is M&M at the card party? You are from Michigan. I'm just saying. It's Marshall Mathers.
You play euchre up here, buddy.
Is Marshall Mathers at this poker tournament? Because, you know.
Anybody you like in the draft? Like right now, I know there's still 3-4 weeks out here, but.
Gotta be the Oregon Center.
Okay.
Yeah. I would love that, but I think it's going to be Mims.
Mims is the other one I would be happy with that, because my hope is that the Georgia center, if we do go Mims at tackle, hopefully Van Pran falls back. I don't think he will, but if he does,
I think he'll fall to at least the second. And there's also the kid from West Virginia, who's also a good center. He's athletic. I'd love JPJ and Mims, but that's impossible.
My other big issue though is we need to get another receiver now.
Well, maybe.
Freiermuth's health is up in the air. He gets one more concussion, and I mean,
the kid knows ball. I'm just saying.
I mean, one more concussion, he might be looking at ending his career. And then you take Freiermuth out, shit, who are you gonna throw it to?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I think they could sign a wide receiver.
Yes.
And I think they might draft another tight end, because little Hayward is not a tight end.
I think it's gonna happen too.
This offense is predicated upon the tight end in both blocking and receiving.
It is. It is.
I mean, he's like Scarf talked about before. Have fun, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Enjoy your life.
Don't get the inside straight.
Like Scarf talked about earlier. You enjoyed your life when you were in college. Shut up.
Yes. Even more so to fucking to tell your son to enjoy the proud, probably the best moments of his life. I still have good moments, but I'm just saying.
Scarves pointed this out earlier, and he's dead right. The Steelers will probably lead the league in guys who catch significant yardage and or touchdowns this season. Different guys, different numbers of guys. It won't be four or five guys that score all the points. And one of them is named Chris Boswell.
The MVP of the 2023 Steelers?
Offensive MVP for sure.
Absolutely. My guy.
Kenny can't score points in the fucking end zone, in the red zone.
No. Let's talk a little bit about the hip drop tackle.
Yes, I'm sure this will be equitably and evenly enforced. And
R.I.P.
Well, look, they've already flat out said, Troy Vincent has already said, well, it's probably going to look a lot like, you know, a player using the helmet. It might not get called in the game, but they're going to get a fine. The players just have to be livid about that kind of crap.
They're trying, my understanding, and I don't know any of this shit firsthand. I'm getting it third, fourth hand. You know this.
Yeah.
My understanding is they're trying to write it narrowly,
mm-hmm.
so that it doesn't get called as often as we as fans fear it's going to be called, but that it will be reviewed and that it will be fined after the fact. So they're going to try and legislate it out via the fines. But yeah, if a guy lands in somebody's legs, let's just say hypothetically, a guy's tackling another guy around the waist, not even up high. He's around the waist, and he lands on his legs. They might fine him for that, which to me is fucking bullshit.
Well,
if you're a defender, what are we going to start doing? Giving these guys more money because they're defenders and they needed to pay fines?
Well, they're often referring to this as kind of a an extension of Seahawk tackling. And obviously Pete Carroll's not there anymore. And this all emerged following all of the head trauma stuff, and teams were looking for different ways. So they explored rugby tackling, things of that nature. And look, this is all the rage in the lower levels. This is how they teach high school kids to tackle now. But the part where the player drops down all of his weight on the running back or the ball carrier, excuse me, that's not really part of that teaching. It's the grab, spin, and pull down. Getting yourself on top of the guy, it was never really part of it. So I don't know where that came in.
Right.
Well, back in the day, we just used to club the shit out of each other.
We would hit guys square.
Right.
Like we were taught square your shoulders up with your target.
Yep.
Look at what you're going to hit and go straight ahead. Right. That's not the thing anymore. And I get it. What I thought the Seahawks were teaching before, and it was not the hip drop tackle. It was angles and leverage. It was hit the guy at the angle.
Absolutely. Yep.
And force him to go down that way. Not grab him around the shoulder pads.
Nope.
And then lift your weight off the field and pull him down that way, which is what this has evolved into.
Yeah.
My buddy this week pointed something out to me. Hi, Ruddy. And he was like, isn't that how Le'Veon Bell tore up his knee that year? Mm-hmm. And he's correct. Absolutely. He's correct. What happened was Burfict came up behind him, grabbed him by the back of the shoulder pads, curled up around him, landed on his legs, injured his knee, and then got up and celebrated that he'd injured another player.
Well, we are talking about
Vontaze Burfict, who's a piece of shit. Yes, you're correct. Go ahead.
Scarps.
I agree that he is a piece of shit, but I mean, what year was that? 2015?
2015.
Okay, so 10 years later ish.
Yep.
They're basically, again, taking an opportunity away from the defense. And I get it. You don't want headshots. I get it. You don't want headshots. You don't want guys going for their knees. You can't go high. You can't go low. Where the fuck are you supposed to go? You can't wrap up. You can't horse collar. You can't do it. And listen, and you know, that hit, I agree. Like that hit that DeMonte Casey had on Michael Pittman last year was tough to watch. And no, I don't think he should have been suspended, but I think he should know better. But in this instance, in this hip drop type of thing, how many times, I'm going to be real about this. How many times would Troy Polamalu be fined or penalized for bringing a guy to the ground?
Troy typically tackled people below the knee.
Okay.
He was criticized.
I know where you're going.
Subjectively.
Troy frequently was criticized for being an ankle tackler, quote unquote. And I didn't give a fuck. We talked about this last week, and I'm sorry you missed this. But I didn't care. I was like, I don't give a shit if he tackles people by the goddamn pinky toe. As long as he makes the tackle, and he always fucking does, who cares?
Subjectively, though.
I see where Ryan's going with this. Yeah. The problem is, when you're coming at a guy from the side, if he falls forward, your body's automatically going to go onto his legs. And if they call it every time you fall on somebody's legs, we're going to have problems. Sorry.
I think what they're trying to outlaw, and I hope they write it really narrowly. They're trying to outlaw guys grabbing guys by their shoulder pads and then dropping their weight on their back.
No doubt about it.
And resulting in a hit at the knee or below.
If they write it
really narrowly, it'll be okay. But this is the NFL and the referees are part-timers and they will find a way to fuck this up. I know.
See, the scenario you just described, I think, is dead on. That's not only going to be a fine, that's going to be a flag. I really do. If you grab the shoulder pads, pull down and then just use all your weight to drag the guy down, much like a horse collar. But here's what I'm looking at. What's going to happen? And I think back to I think it was Logan Wilson and Mark Andrews beginning of last season. I don't think Wilson grabbed him up high. I think Wilson came around behind him, around his waist, and dropped down and came across Andrews.
He had his left arm above his shoulder pads and his right arm.
Okay, I stand corrected then.
His right arm under, and he swung around him this way and landed on his legs.
To me, that's going to be where it gets subjective, though.
Andrews got fucked up on that. Well, no.
Yeah, it was bad.
He did have one arm over the shoulder pads, and he dropped all of it. He lifted his weight off the ground and had all of his weight land on Andrews.
Yes,
and that's why Andrews got hurt.
Yep.
Okay, so Mark Andrews is 6'5", 250, fucking right. running.
Yep.
Full steam ahead.
Yep.
And right. Logan Wilson is not some small guy, no. but there is a thing called momentum. And right. and if you just grab onto somebody, there's a chance your ass might come off your legs. Wait, hold on a second. There's a chance that
there's a when chance that Ryan hasn't been drinking for a
now,
while.
Now, here's a guy who didn't remember his anatomy.
No. If somebody's running away from you and you grab them, their momentum might carry you into a position where you leave your feet and you happen to land exactly how Logan Wilson did.
Okay,
on Mark
you
Andrews.
Might, hypothetically. In that instance, that's not what happened.
See, I... Ben,
he tried to pull him down from behind, and that's what they're trying to outlaw. No, I have looked at that play a bunch of times because it's the example they keep using over and over and over.
Right,
and
they have used it.
You know, but
they used the one on Geno Smith too on the sidelines.
I haven't seen that one.
That one's bad.
And Ben, like you know, for those watching, like Ben and I, we battle a little bit, but we have mutual respect, and the.
Ben, we enjoy not agreeing,
and yes, but Ben, I'm gonna call bullshit on that Logan Wilson example. I agree that they made an example of Logan Wilson, but I do not think that he did anything egregious. I think it was a fluke play.
I don't think he did it intentionally.
Oh no, I don't either.
I will agree with you there. What I will say is, he grabbed him by the shoulder pads. Okay, one arm over, one arm under, and try to pull him down from behind, which is exactly what they are trying to eliminate. They're basically saying, if you can't hit the guy from the side and take him down, well, you better slow him down another way, because
I really isn't gonna work anymore. The whole problem with this entire thing is just the, you know, I can't remember who was it that was it Jerry Glanville maybe he called a referee an over officious jerk or something like that. I remember it from one of those NFL films things, but everything is under the microscope now and it slowed way down. And here's the one thing we all forget: officials don't see the play in slow motion, and everybody starts screaming at the officials when they get it wrong because replay overrules it or something. And to me, this is just a constant recycling of this same problem that officials are just not given enough grace on this. And I'm not saying they don't make bad calls because they do, but every single thing is just constantly.
We need full-time officials.
Oh,
at minimum, what we need is a full-time referee. So the team leader, the guy who actually calls the penalties, he should be a full-time employee at minimum.
Yes.
Because they have 12. They have 12 teams. How many teams do they have?
Well,
I guess they have 16 teams.
They have to have 16.
Yeah. I think there's actually 17 because there's always one that's off one week, I think.
Fuck you, Johnny.
Welcome in, Johnny. The show just wasn't the same.
So you got 17 teams. And you need at least 17 guys plus the vice president of officiating who are full-time employees.
Well,
at minimum.
They want a sky judge, but they don't want to call it a sky judge. They want to call it assistant official or something stupid. I don't know.
What they really need to do,
Ian,
is set up.
Ian hates the refs.
Yes, exactly.
You're a hater, Ian.
I am a hater. Well, and part of my problem with full-time officials is that, like, these part-time guys can't figure out how to properly officiate a game, and we want to make them full-time. But here's what they need to do. I understand the concept of full-time officials if they're competent at their job. But really, to me, they need to set up a program for ex-players, the guys who have actually done it, who know the speed of the game, who know what is cheating and what is not cheating, right? If you listen to ex-players talk, like ex-lineman will be like, yeah, I held the crap out of that guy. Like, they didn't call it, but I definitely held him. Or defensive backs will be like, oh yeah, I definitely grabbed that guy and they or and I got called for it, or I acted like I didn't. But you know, they need to let ex-players have a program for ex-players to get into officiating, because they're the ones that actually know what the players do and what to look for.
There to that point, there are a couple of former players who have become officials, and I cannot recall where I saw this several years ago, but several players said those guys understood it exactly what you're saying, especially in the secondary. Mm-hmm. On those bang bang plays where it looks like a guy's taking another guy's head off, and that's not the case at all. It's because the offensive player drops his head, drops his shoulders, and it looks like head to head, and it's not. They did cite those guys. They said, we appreciate those guys because they've been here.
Yeah, that was what I thought last year with KZ when he got suspended. I was like, that dude dropped his head. Mm-hmm. What was KZ supposed to do? What the one thing he could have done was go in like this. Okay, and hit him with his face mask instead of the top of his fucking.
It's just the
front of his helmet.
Yeah,
not the crown, but the top, the front of his helmet. So, yeah, you're right, Matt. It's not like they can't fucking afford full time officials. They can afford it.
I don't know. The NFL's, they're in some trouble financially, from what I hear. Mm-hmm.
Right. They're $10 billion a year in revenue.
What do you guys think about the new challenge rule where a coach now can get a third challenge if they've gotten one of the two?
I like it because officials suck. So you shouldn't be penalized.
The officials suck. The officials suck ass. Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Mike Tomlin needs to, listen a little bit more to his people up in the booth and not just, I'm going with my gut. I want to challenge this.
Or players screaming at him because they think the call. Yeah. I like it. I think it's good. All too often we see coaches that have to use reviews early in games, and then they're out of them and a big play happens later in a game and they're screwed. So I like that. The trade deadline is pushed back a week. The Steelers were
because of the Steelers.
Well, they suggested that, but there was a team that suggested 2 weeks to week 10.
And yeah, it was the Patriots.
Yeah, and so I think nine.
And that went
is a good. Right, I think that's a good settlement there to go with nine, because it is kind of easy. I mean, because some teams are still in the thick of it in week seven, week eight, and they don't make any deals. And 3 weeks later, they're in the tank. So,
yeah, you need a quarterback or anybody, right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good with all that.
Are you suggesting the Steelers needed a quarterback last year, Ryan?
No, because they found their quarterback in Mason.
Oh,
you know, and it's kind of funny they didn't keep him, isn't it?
And he was there all along.
It's odd to me that they didn't keep him, and he's playing for $3 million next year.
Do you really think it's odd though that they didn't keep him, or did he finally say, you know what, you've screwed me more times than Sears? Okay,
hey, you know what, he wanted to come back. He was at the Steelers facility for a visit. I don't know why he would have come in for a visit, but he did. And then on that day, they heard from Russell Wilson that he was going to sign. And Mason was like, yeah, I don't want to compete with that guy. Okay. And honestly, again, not going to throw any shade. I have to give Mason props for sticking to his guns and being like, look, the Steelers situation is different from the rest of the league. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I come back to Pittsburgh, chances are I'm going to play. Chances are I deserve to fucking play because of the way I played last year.
Mm-hmm.
I want more money than I would get elsewhere. And I want a real opportunity to compete for the first string quarterback position. So yeah, I got to give him props. When they didn't give him that, he said, okay, fine. If I'm not getting that, I'm leaving. And the Steelers viewed him as a backup,
you know,
and their offer reflected that, which I think is
can you imagine
a little crappy given the fact that, I mean, granted, his performance in the playoff game wasn't great. But those last three starts in the regular season, those were pretty respectable. They should have given him a shot.
It's a quality comment, Ian.
That is fantastic, Ian. That is that is the comment of the night right there.
Can you imagine if Mason would have re-signed and let's say Russell Wilson went elsewhere and then the Steelers traded for Justin Fields?
And the best part about it is Kenny Pickett would still have been the third best option on the team.
It's true.
I'm never going to let that go. Because
Mark was incredibly ambitious tonight when he suggested on Twitter that this was going to be the last time we talked about Kenny Pickett.
I know.
To be fair, this will be the last time Casey talks about Kenny
Pickett. Are you sure?
Really?
Are you sure? Because the Kenny sexuals are still out there. And respect their pronoun, please.
Are they wearing wearing green now? Kelly Green?
I
don't
know. I would say that Kenny may
play them in the preseason, you know.
Oh, very much so.
Oh, we play can't wait.
The Kenny Sexuals?
Can't wait.
Oh, the Eagles.
The Eagles, yes.
Sorry.
We play them in the regular season.
We play them in the regular season.
Yeah.
We
play them in the regular season, yeah. Away.
I mean, how
it would be really funny if Kenny started that game.
I was just going to say, how bad would it suck if Jalen Hurts, you know, had a tweaked hamstring or whatever, and Kenny Pickett got to start that game, and T.J. Watt had 70,000 sacks.
Well, I mean, honestly, let's just say hypothetically, he just had 7 and broke the record.
Yes. And Kenny Pickett pissed his pants with, you know, anyway.
Let's just say that Kenny rolled into 3 of them. Rolled out of a clean pocket into the sack.
But wouldn't he actually roll into Highsmith?
Highsmith.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he typically does roll to his left, doesn't he?
He does. He does. How concerned are you guys about the wide receiver position right now?
Not.
Ian?
We'll figure it out. Think about who Russell Wilson was throwing to last year in Denver, right?
From what I understand, Jerry Jeudy's the second coming of freaking Paul Warfield. I mean,
yeah, okay.
My God.
Of course, he was traded for a pick swap or a fifth.
Pretty much. Yeah. Cortland Sutton and a couple other guys who, yeah. So, and he had twice as many touchdowns just last year as Kenny Pickett had in his entire career. So, considering that, I'm not super worried about it. We'll figure it out. We'll draft a guy at some point. We may sign someone else in free agency. I think both of those things
are going to happen. The problem in my mind is there's no guarantee that either or both are going to click, though.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, and granted, maybe it's a really good thing that Arthur Smith's there, knowing that he likes the two tight end set so much, alleviating the three wide receivers and stuff, but man, we're banking an awful lot on either a free agent or a rookie.
Yeah, that always scares me. We've signed a few guys now between Van Jefferson and
Chiz Watkins.
Yeah, Watkins, who are basically like 6 foot, 200-ish pounds. You know, last week, Steelers Freak in the chat asked me to, you know, what were the, you know, body type sizes of the receivers that Arthur Smith had when he was in Tennessee. And really it was, you know, AJ Brown, who's just a freak of nature, plus like Corey Davis and some other guys who are kind of in that same like 6 foot, 200-pound range. But the guys we got have speed, but not a lot of wiggle. Van Jefferson, good long speed, not a lot of wiggle. Quez Watkins, good long speed, not a lot of wiggle.
Right.
But if you think back to what Russell Wilson had with DK Metcalf, I mean, people talked about him turning like it was steering the Titanic. Like, he can go, but he ain't, you know, wiggling. And they had a lot of success together. So Wilson can throw a better deep ball than anyone we've had since Roethlisberger before his elbow injury. So if they can separate down the field, I have no doubt that Wilson can find them, and that can make a big difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm going to piss after this because Scarps has had some drinks, but the point is
we can tell
Russell. Oh, I'm going to fucking, I'm going to find you one day, Ben. the other thing about Russell Wilson is that, yes, he had Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And this is no disrespect to Doug Baldwin and Jerome Kearse, but he had those guys too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the picketologists out there, they're like, oh, fucking Russell Wilson's not going to be any better than Kenny. Please seek help, number one. And number two, Russell Wilson is still a good quarterback. He's hungry to prove that Sean Payton definitely did Bounty Gate. Even yes, we all know that because he was suspended for a year. He definitely did that.
Sharp just looped Bounty Gate all the way to Russell Wilson and Sean Payton.
I'm connecting all the dots Bounty here, Gate, and then
looped it into Pittsburgh,
and then Greg Williams definitely did Bounty Gate. But no, like you know. Russell Wilson is a shadow of his former self. Have we seen that before? Maybe 2021 Ben Roethlisberger, where he was in a Matt Canada shit led offense and still threw 21 touchdowns. And at the worst possible moments, he looked at a guy and said, "You go this way, you go this way, and I'm going to fucking throw it to you." Because I'm going to tell you this right now. If Russell Wilson looks at Van Jefferson or Quez Watkins or whoever we draft in a crucial moment and goes like this and they get a first down and we win the game, I don't give a shit because we're going to win the game. And all the picketologists will say, well, Kenny won. There's a huge difference between the defense not giving up 17 points and winning and a defense giving up more than 17 points and you're not even getting close to winning.
Yeah.
And that was Kenny Pickett.
And so, that was a conversation I had this week on the Twitter for you folks at home that don't know what that means.
It's X.
Currently the X. Which is
similar to Twitter.
The artist formerly known as Twitter. Was that Kenny Pickett didn't score points with Matt Canada or without Matt Canada. That never happened. And running up a bunch of yards between the 20s does not win games.
No, it does not.
Scoring touchdowns does.
Well, so I want to, while Scarps goes off to the potty.
Have fun, Scarps.
Yeah, he said that you know, Russell Wilson will be better than Kenny Pickett. And, okay, maybe
that
this
hard.
No, but okay, Ian, since you spoke up, you're getting this first.
All right.
What will he do specifically that will be better than Kenny Pickett?
Oh.
Put more points on the board.
No. I'm talking about. That is the most important offensive stat there is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
See, Ben and I are on the same page.
But
here,
you got to do something, some things else, right? In order to put points on the board.
In pursuit of putting points on the board?
Yeah, what's
execute
he going
in
to
the
do?
Red zone. Convert third downs. There keep the offense on the field.
Read a defense, Claude.
Read a defense. There
I'll
we
give
go.
You one.
Yes.
I'll give you one. Know how to move the protection.
Yeah. Call an audible. Command the huddle.
Yeah.
Get guys on the same page. All that. Yes.
Commanding the huddle is fucking huge. I'm sorry. I mean, we all need to acknowledge the fact that Kenny is gone because he lost the locker room.
Yeah.
All right.
There is very little question of that any longer.
He lost the locker room.
He did.
That is why he's gone. I'm sorry for the Kenny sexuals that don't want to believe it. That's why he's gone.
Yeah, the body language on offense was horrible last year. Even when they were doing well, like Kenny would just kind of saunter out there and just be like, "All right, guys, here's what we're gonna run." You know,
he's got that great Gazoo helmet too. You know, a big old helmet. You know, and
they
it
all
just
do
made
now.
Him, made him look even worse.
They all do. They have those.
I know. Mahomes has got
helmets,
but on the flip side,
helmets that prevent concussions.
Yes.
You know, on the flip side, we talked about this last week too, that Steelers fans are going to get really friggin' frustrated with Russell Wilson because he's an eternal optimist and is going to be like, even after a loss, he's going to be like, things are fine. We don't have to worry about this. Who cares? We lost the game. People are going to get pissed about that. We're going to get pissed about that on the show. Yes. I will fully warn you. But in a game situation, when there's a minute 45 left,
you know,
and we're down by 6 points. If he goes into that huddle and says, guys, we got this. We're fine. We're going to go win this game. Like, you talk about commanding a huddle and getting, you know, instilling confidence in the rest of your group. That's what you want. You want that eternal optimist in the huddle, that guy that's going in there that's saying, guys, we can do this. Let's go. Yeah. You know,
and I'd much rather have that than a guy that sulks and bitches about everything after a loss or something like that. I know it gets old. It gets cheesy.
Deontay
it's always
Johnson?
Like, but
what?
Yes. But I'm fine with that.
You know who has like 40 game winning drives in their career and has a Super Bowl under the belt and is one of only like 14 guys that ever throw 300 touchdowns at this league? Russell Wilson. Not fucking Kenny Pickett. And Kenny Pickett can have all his game winning drives when the defense allows 17 or less points. But I'm going to tell you this right now.
Exactly, Jen.
Russell Wilson, thank you, Ben. Russell Wilson, next season will throw more touchdowns than Kenny Pickett will in his entire career. Fucking
season?
Bookmark,
wow.
Bookmark
next
that?
Season for his entire career?
Yes. Mark, when we do our over-unders in the fall, that's going to be a good
bookmark.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about his entire career.
Hold on. I
got
to take
so
notes.
So far, he's already got 13, Scarps. Okay. Now, next year, he might get one. Probably he's getting zero.
He's going to be working at fucking Circuit City, which is not even doesn't even exist anymore in the next 5 years.
I hate myself, but I don't care.
I think Kenny Pickett is a backup someplace in 2026. He's competing for a job with some shit ass organization like the Browns
or the Jets.
The Jets. Jesus, my God! Could that be any more
potential vice president quarterback in them?
Could that be any more dysfunctional there? My God!
Yeah. I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
totally fine with it.
You know, I think if I recall correctly, didn't one of us on this show pick the Jets to like make the playoffs and maybe make the Super Bowl last year?
I think somebody did. Yeah,
I know it wasn't me.
I think it was Ryan. Well,
I mean, I didn't expect Aaron Rodgers' Achilles to snap in half. I didn't expect the Aaron Rodgers Achilles to snap in half because the COVID vaccine that he may or may have not taken and was not immunized. You know, I'm just saying. So, Jen, you're right. I shouldn't open shit with my teeth.
You should
thank
not.
You,
that's a quick trip to the dentist, man.
Please always tune in. Though.
Thanks, Jen.
Yes. We need a mom.
You are correct, show. Jen.
Keep us in line once in a while.
Somebody needs to be the monitor.
Yeah. How are you guys feeling about the draft right now? Starting to come into focus for you? You're still too early.
No, okay. I'm not. Yeah. It's not in focus because we still need a center, a tackle, a wide receiver, and a slot corner.
Well, Scarps badly. And I were talking a little bit today, and I think we both in our hearts think we want to go like, you know, tackle center or center tackle.
Well, here's
but
the thing.
I don't think it's going to happen.
A little bit. Okay, because he's not a great tackler. Is the fallback position right now for the Steelers at slot corner is Patrick Peterson. You know that, right?
It will be. It's not currently, but it will be.
It is. That's their fallback position. If they don't get one, they're signing that guy.
I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So
I would not be opposed to drafting a corner. Like if a bunch of the tackles are gone and like Kool-Aid McKinstry is available, like I'm totally fine with that.
Kool-Aid's not really an inside guy though.
No,
not really a field corner.
But we only have Jackson for a year on the outside.
Yeah.
So like play him do whatever.
I hear what you're saying. You're right. But no, I don't want another Shannon Sullivan type in there. And I'm fine with Peterson coming back if he only plays on third downs.
Have we the
fifth corner? Fine.
Have we reached a point though where a nickel cornerback is no longer just an afterthought in the draft?
Mark, it's been that way for years, a decade at least.
What?
Nickels
the nickel
are starters,
corner
basically.
Is a starter.
I mean, they play 75%.
No, I agree. Yeah. But when you talk about drafting a guy to play slot corner, a lot of people cringe. Like, oh, I can't take one that high.
I wanted a guy.
Take him.
No, and they like Cinquez Golson. Okay, they took him in the second round to play slot corner years ago.
Yep,
and he just couldn't stay healthy, which sucks. But
he had all the tools, man.
He did,
except the height.
Oh yeah, there's that. But he can play slot, and he can tackle.
Yes, but that's what I'm getting at.
To play slot in Pittsburgh, you got to be able to tackle. You got to be a guy who can play and run support.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep.
You know that was where Willie Gay, William now because Willie Gay is a linebacker now,
right?
For another team, anyway. William Gay made his money. Because he was a good slot corner who could also play outside. He wasn't as good outside as he was at the slot.
He's one of my favorite Steelers.
Because he just kept working at his craft and got better
We roasted that guy. Arizona came back, and man, did he play good football.
He just kept getting better.
Yep. Yep.
And if you're that guy who can keep your eye on the ball – and just keep your focus and keep moving forward. You know, those guys are few and far between. Even Ike. Remember the struggles Ike had and Carroll kept benching him?
Of course. Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. And Ike, by the way, is doing fantastic. Yeah.
And under
LSU coaching up DBs this week.
Yeah. But under Tomlin, Ike really blossomed. He became a very, very good corner. Never had hands, but God damn it, if he wasn't a good corner.
No, if he had hands, he'd be first ballot Hall of Famer, probably.
Yeah.
God, we interviewed Ike on the show a couple years ago.
We did.
Mike's been on here. Just garbage to interview him. How about that time that you...
Notice that Scarps is being very quiet. I'm just going to snag
I loved Ike.
Oh, he's a character, man.
Never had a problem with Ike.
He's hilarious. I think he came on the show. Wasn't he smoking one of his big cigars when he came on? And
might have been. We had LeVon Kirkland on, too. We had, like,
yes,
within LeVon Kirkland.
2 months.
Kirkland was really fun. And he was like, if you guys ever want to talk to me again, let me know. We should bring it back honestly.
I got his.
What we should do, honestly, is question him about the linebackers now.
Getting his take on all of you that are watching this show now.
This is the kind of lovely insight you get to us planning our own show.
I know LeVon's working with Clemson again, so.
Did he ever stop?
I think
Clemson really is his first love.
Oh, absolutely. He loves it. Loves it down there. Yeah. Did we have anything else to talk about?
Yeah. The draft's coming up. We'll do some draft preview shows. I feel like, you know, for me at least, the NCAA tournament's at a point where I'm like, all right, we're getting close to the Final Four. I can focus on the draft now. So, you know, I just go in phases.
Well, I'm going to say one thing about the quarterbacks. I've seen more of McCarthy than I've seen of any of the other quarterbacks for the most part. He's a wonderful guy, a good leader. He's got ability. The inconsistencies with the inaccuracy on some of his throws, I just don't know why he's so high on the board, but
I would not take McCarthy in the top 10. I wouldn't take him in the first round, but
you know, I
would
neither. You know,
he's got
a huge arm.
So high.
He's got the arm.
Yes.
Yeah. It's arm just talent. Like Josh Allen, but look at Josh Allen coming out. You know very well what it is. The big arm trumps all because the guys with the big arm, even if they have marginal accuracy, and you think you can train it into them because their mechanics suck.
Yeah.
The big arm can get the ball into those tight windows in the NFL.
Yeah. You can't teach that kind
of thing. So they see those guys and they go, I can coach him up. Yeah. I can make this work.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know what? The more quarterbacks that go in the top 20, top 19, the better.
And that's a great point. The more quarterbacks that go above us, the better we are.
Yep.
I totally agree. Max
Lynch
agree.
Was awesome, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a big arm, went in the first
round. We really should have taken that Dallas offer that year instead of taking Artie Burns.
Yeah. The one other thing I'll say about quarterbacks, I saw today reportedly we have a pre-draft meeting, visit, whatever, set up with Michael Penix. If he's there in the third round, I'd take a gamble on him. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Steelers take a quarterback in the mid rounds.
We have two third round picks too.
I wouldn't take one in the first two rounds.
I wouldn't either.
But I wouldn't be shocked to see them take one in the middle of the draft.
Yeah, I'm always hesitant about that with quarterbacks, but I agree with you, Ian. I wouldn't mind scooping one up in the third or fourth round, just see what happens. But with that said, we have so many other needs, but that's true every year.
Yeah. No, I feel like, offensive tackle, center, and cornerback and wide receiver are the top four needs. And, we'll see where things land with those positions and who's on the board and all that. But
Scarps, let me ask you, what is it like around the offices about a month to go before the draft? Is there any sort of change in what happens, or is it still pretty status quo?
No, it's wonderful. The executives are out of the office.
I was waiting for the follow-up.
Cats away, the mice will play. It's nice. It's nice, but it's different. But you get to learn some things that you may have not been privy to.
Mm-hmm.
You see stuff on social, etc.
Yeah.
And Matt Smith, cheers. Matt Smith. Will Kenny have a longer career in the league than Scarps had?
You know what?
Well,
Scarps had a solid 7, which is better than the league average.
Yeah,
that's better than many averages called God. But the point is,
why did I know I was going there?
The point is, Kenny might have, I don't know. That's a good question. Matt Smith, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't quite know. But I will tell you, the offseason was always wonderful. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm just curious if...
The offseason was always wonderful. Executives were in and out of the office,
Now, did you do the pickups of the pre-draft visits? Did you have any of those?
My first couple of years, yes.
Okay.
I've driven many people to and from the facility in my 2002 Oldsmobile Intrigue, including Rob Gronkowski.
You're kidding me.
Golden Tate, Antonio Brown, Don Terry Poe, Brian Bulaga. I'm trying to think all the guys.
Wait, you had Gronk in the car with you?
Oh, yeah. Gronk. I'll share the story. I don't give a shit. I've tweeted about it. I'm driving Gronk back to the Omni in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
To the facility. And we're driving along 2nd Avenue in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed up to the left and I said, yeah, up there's Oakland. That's where University of Pittsburgh is. And they share
a
facility.
Go to Pittsburgh for a while?
No, he went to Woodland Hills
for a year.
So he knew the area, and I said that's where University of Pittsburgh is. They share a facility and a stadium with us. That's where we're going. And I said, I pointed to the right. I said, that's where the South Side is. I said, that's the South Side, and he knew what I meant. He goes, bro, I know. I was there last night.
sounds exactly like him too.
I've had it. The most famous person though in that 2002 Oldsmobile Intrigue who told me to never get rid of it was Dan Rooney, who passed away.
Oh, all right.
And I drove him to and from his final game at the New England Patriots AFC Championship 2016. We lost. And I remember on the way home, I said, I'm going to get a new car this spring, Mr. Rooney. And he said, why? This one's perfect. And I said, well, it's, I didn't say this to him, but
right.
In a nice way, I basically said it's a piece of shit. And he said, nah, keep it. And then he passed away like a month later.
Oh,
so I kept it. I kept it for a couple more years. And
you should have had that thing bronzed, memorialized.
That car had more famous asses
yes!
in the front passenger seat. Then
I mean that's your book usually, right there, man.
Usually I'm quick on my feet, but like you know, Mr. Rooney, cheers, DMR, wherever you are right Absolutely. Now, man. Cheers to you. What an amazing guy that did was.
That's a great story. I have to be honest, I've been looking forward to this all day today. Casey Kasem.
Are we doing that now?
Well, I think we're through the things that we need to talk about. And obviously last week, Casey was not available and did
because
not have
Ryan
a chance
doesn't
to comment
love you people as much as he on, loves drinking
on Kenneth Pickett's trade. And so now this is his opportunity to comment on it. And I'll turn over the mic to him.
This is going to be wonderful. Casey's Coast to Coast. American Top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was March 28th, 1999.
Ooh.
Our favorite correspondent, Ryan, is back with us this week, and he writes, Dear Casey, Dear Kenny, won't you come out to play? Dear Kenny, greet the brand new day. The sun is up. The sky is blue. Kyle Allen's a better quarterback than you. Dear Kenny. Casey, good to be back. That's, of course, a parody of Dear Prudence by the Beatles off their album The Beatles, better known as the White Album. Much like John and George, Kenny Pickett's career is dead. Much like Ringo, Kenny, again, isn't even the best at his position on the team. And much like Paul, Kenny blames the breakup on everyone but himself. With every mistake, we must surely be learning. Still, my Kenny gently weeps. Casey? I still can't believe the Pickett news. When I heard he was traded, I was more excited than Jim Harbaugh when Macy's has a sale on khakis. I was happier than Steelers fans when TJ Watt gets a ton of sacks but doesn't get a playoff win. I was more thrilled than Marjorie Taylor Greene when they refill the hard-boiled eggs at a Ruby Tuesday salad bar. Goodbye, Kenny Tuesday. Who could play better than you? You won't change with every new day, and I'm not going to miss you. The Beatles, the Stones, who's next? The Kinks? Speaking of kinks, Casey, I like a little pain. Like watching the Steelers not win a playoff game the past 7 seasons. They always have you hooked, but there's nothing to show for it. They have less playoff wins than the Browns, and regardless of what Steelers Nation believes, that playoff loss at the stadium formerly known as Heinz Field actually happened.
But Casey, there's hope. The Steelers continue to say that they're tired of not winning playoff games, and the moves they've made this free agency have shown that they are not complacent. In a matter of months, they got rid of Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett, two guys that should have never been on the team in the first place. Do yins believe in life after Kenny and Matt? I can feel something inside me say that the Picketologists really aren't that strong enough. Well, Ryan, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. I'm pretty sure that Cher had Sonny Bono killed, but we'll save that for another time. Staying at number one for the fourth straight week, here's Cher with Believe.
Did he ski into a tree? Cher moved the tree.
She had a sequoia planted before he skied.
Didn't he, like, seriously, didn't he fall into a tree well?
He skied. No, into
he
a
skied
tree.
Into, he a tree. Into a tree.
That I thought had that he, planted. He fell into a tree wall and he, like, suffocated.
No, he's blunt trauma to the head.
Oh. Well, that happens.
Well, they say celebrities always die.
That was
a
nice send off, Ryan. That was very respectful.
That was
sort of.
Yeah. That was I did not expect a Marjorie Taylor Greene comment.
Pretty sweet.
That was pretty
the whole thing.
She hits that Ruby Tuesday buffet like nobody I've ever seen.
Dear Prudence, to kick things off was very, very, very nice.
Skiing football.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord. All right. We will dive headlong into the draft starting next week, everybody. And once again, thanks, everybody, who's with us every single week.
You guys are the best.
You guys are awesome. Amazing, amazing people. And I could not be more sincere in saying that. Thank you so much. Thanks for the new folks that dropped by. And thanks to the new folks that will be dropping by, too. But for these guys, I am signing off. This has been the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And hey, go Steelers.
Hey, regarding the whole Baltimore thing, we're not going to make fun of them tonight. Baltimore, we're pulling for you. Sorry. Awful. And just want you to know we're with you.
Yep. Amen. And have a good Easter, everybody. And we'll see you next week.
Yep.